Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this car good, ISO?
Yo, it's good, man.
Yo, I've been getting some bad cars lately, man.
Not for me.
Yo, I need my money.
Yo, you good, Doc. You good. Check it out.
All right, hold on. All right, we good. You're now in the office of Dr. Big Al and my patient,
ISO, on Nick's Therapy.
At 7sitemedia.com.
Knicks Nation, Knicks fans near and afar, talking to Dr. Big Al on Knicks Therapy. We're here once again every Thursday night at 9 p.m. giving you the latest on the Knicks. We want to hear what you think, your opinions on everything, how you feel about your New York Knicks, good, bad, here to try to lift you up and bring good spirits to Knicks fans everywhere. The number 563-999-3716. Don't forget to press 1 to get in the queue. A lot to talk about this week. This episode is titled Decisions, mainly because the offseason is here and the Knicks upper management have a lot of decisions to make. Started out with new head coach David Fizdale a few weeks ago. This past week, last Thursday to be exact, around this time we selected Kevin Knox as our top draft pick with the number 9 pick. We'll talk about him this week, along with the free agency pending. Free agents around the NBA along with ours. Tomorrow's a big day for Nene Enes Kanter. He has a decision to make. Talk about it all. I want to mention something real quick. That at this time last year, a lot of Knicks fans were celebrating. And especially on this show. You know, for what? Last year, this same date, the Knicks fired Phil Jackson. That brought a lot of joy to Knicks fans everywhere, including me, of course, who, you know, for it, prayed on it, asked Knicks fans to pray on it, and came through, you know. Things didn't really turn around last season. I mean, I think we did improve to a certain degree, but KP's injury kind of derailed things, along with, at a certain point, Tim Hardaway Jr.'s injury, too. But I think we're on the right track, you know, after Phil. You know, especially with who we picked in this year's draft. I didn't get to talk about it much, but Kevin Knox, along with a second-round pick, Mitchell Robinson, who's unknown. He was unknown to me, too, but I like his upside. I'm going to talk about him a little bit first. A lot of people compare him to Willie Cauley-Stein and Tyson Chandler, that type of dude, the DeAndre Jordan type of player. Some people say Clint Capella. Tall, he's 7 foot. He didn't play college ball. He was enrolled at the University of Western Kentucky, and he ended up not playing the game. I think he enrolled in one summer class and left school after that class to get ready for this year's NBA draft. I'm not sure about the reasons why. But, you know, he went back and trained with his high school coach to get ready for this year's draft. And I guess you it turned out well to a certain degree, being a second round that bad. Not guaranteed a contract, but most likely he will get one.
Doc, I don't mean to disturb you, man. We got a call on the line.
What's
last
up,
four
MVP? Let's take that call up. Let's go ahead.
5608. 5608.
Call us.
Hello.
Where you calling from? What's up, man?
What up, Doc?
What
long
up?
Time, hey. No prescriptions.
Who is, man?
It's ISO, Doc. What's going on?
Yo, ISO, yo. Ever since your card last declined, I ain't hear from you, man. you must got a lot on your chest, but I'm here to listen, man. I know, a lot has transpired. Let it rip, man. What's on your mind tonight, man?
What's going on, Doc? You know.
How you feel about Kevin Knox?
First of all, that was the pick that we needed. We got the future Paul George. Trust me, he has the same similarities, same traits. You know what I'm saying? He played in Kentucky, and like I tell everybody, dudes in Kentucky never show what they fully are until they get to the league. So I'm feeling Kevin Knox. Everybody, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about Michael Porter and anything. And first, Doc, you hear? Yeah, Doc. All
right, so you still on there?
Yeah, I'm still here. My phone, something happened. I guess my phone bugged out.
Yeah, man. Yo, how you feel about Kevin Knox, man?
Yeah, babe. Kevin Knox is the player that we needed to have at this time, man. He's young. You know, first of all, Doc, I got to say this. You know, that kid and that parent that booed Kevin Knox, they lose all credibility.
Of course.
They lose all credibility. I don't want to see you after you boo Porzingis, and then all of a sudden now you're rocking a Porzingis jersey. So, you know what I'm saying? You're not a true Knicks fan. You're just a rider. You know what I'm saying? Rider in a good way.
Right. They just wanted publicity, man. They just wanted to be seen. But continue, man.
Now, for all those, just on another point, for all those that was thinking about Michael Porter, did you see the way my man was looking like the geriatric patient walking down them steps? Straight. Like, my man couldn't even walk down them steps, B. So, you know, him being number 14th, that's good. There's no way we could have took a pick that high and redshirted him. You know, we're not in that position.
Right. We couldn't take a chance on him. He wasn't in the position to take a chance.
If you look at Knox, he's good. He can move. He can. The best thing about Knox, what I love about him, is he can score without the basketball. You know what I'm saying? He can move, cut, you know what I'm saying, do curl plays and all that. That was cool. And plus, on top of that, the one thing I've been reading about is that he has that Donovan Mitchell trait. Because
what exactly is that?
Is that he did no private workouts. He said, I don't want to do nothing private. I want to do all group workouts. And what made him get picked is that he destroyed Miles Bridges. I didn't hear like he destroyed him. know what I'm saying?
Right.
Miles Bridges is a second-year college player. This kid is still 18.
Yeah,
you know?
I enjoyed to hear that competitive spirit from him, you know, being
such
a youngster.
Exactly. He wants to, you know, he wants to be great. I mean, you know, what gave me chills is when they asked Kevin Knox, what does he say? Yeah, I hear the Michael Porter, but y'all got Kevin Knox. And I was
right.
like, okay. So he gave me that competitive spirit that I like. And then, you know, that next young boy that we got,
Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah. That's I'm looking at a future DeAndre Jordan.
Right.
You know, the dude.
Right. If he had that strength, he's right there.
Yeah. Right now, all I need you to do is be a roll, catch some lobs, get some rebounds, get some blocks, run the floor. That's all
mm-hmm.
I need from you. I don't need the expansion of your game isn't gonna be there yet. You know.
Right.
I'm just happy. And then on top of that too, Doc, what flies under the radar is the guard we got from Arizona.
Alonzo Trier.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
Man. A lot of people don't know about him, but he was last year he would have been a first round pick. Even come
exactly.
out of his first year. He came out, this is his junior year he came out, so he had 3 years of college, but he got suspended twice over PEDs.
Right.
It's kind of unheard of to me that college players take PEDs, so I kind of believe that he probably didn't know what was going on. They said the second time he got suspended for it, they kind of rescinded it, but they said it was probably because he still had traces from the first time he
right.
got, you know, caught with it.
But
he
know,
might be stealing himself.
Yeah, two-way contract. And then, I mean, overall, Doc, what you think about, because I've been here a long time, so, you know, I got to let a lot out. With us getting Fizdale and him taking Frank Ntilikina and everybody else, To the playoff games, I think that
mm-hmm.
right now we're in a different state of mind. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is what you call real player development right now. And I think that we're gonna come out hard. We're gonna come out hungry. I remember you was talking to me before, and it was like David Fizdale heard you because you was like, yo, you know, I don't want Kevin Knox to, you know, just be the star that he got to earn it. And Fizdale's telling everybody, everything is earned.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is earned. So I'm feeling that right now.
Yeah.
He did
say what you said, that Knox has a chance to start. You know what I mean? He doesn't mind putting him out there, but, you know, it's still got to be earned.
Yeah, man.
Real quick,
yeah.
who do you – I mean, not everybody watches college basketball or knows college basketball, but comparison as far as Knox. Who you see him as a NBA player compared to as an NBA player?
I told you, man. He has all the potentials to be Paul George. And, you know, people can be like, oh, how could you say that, you know, but his game, like those, when I look at Knox's game, it's kind of effortless, man. You know, it's almost like that Paul George, that Tracy McGrady type, where their game is so smooth that it almost looks like they're lazy.
I got one for you. I'm not gonna name his name at the moment, but This is who I see when I've watched Kevin Knox. But I'm gonna read this player's scouting report coming out of college
mm-hmm.
without naming his name first. Tremendous all around talent with several NBA skills, great size and physical strength for a small forward with his quickness, good ability to post up than the opponents, has an old school game with soft jumper, fluid movements, and court vision. Lightning quick first step and tremendous leaper with great exposure to the basket. His medium range jump shot is his most consistent weapon, but 3-point ability is definitely there. Has improved on ball handling since freshman season, but still needs a lot of work to play small forward on at next level. Rebounds and block shots well when needed. At times looked bored in college. Played for a tremendous coach at I'm not going to name the coach and the team, who also helped groom the likes of, not going to name the players. He's a very polished performer who understands fundamentals are more productive than 360 dunks. This guy's a surefire all-star who should blossom by second season. Player who I see in Knox is Knox is a few inches taller, but Paul Pierce coming out when he came out of Kansas. Pierce wasn't known as what people remember him for, maybe the deep, you know, shooting threes and all that, but he operated in the mid-range first. A lot of times with, you know, his back to the basket and drives to the rim here and there. The description said tremendous leaper and finisher. At times, Pierce showed flashes of that, but, you know, like they said, old-school game and you know, the mid-range game. And I see a lot of that around Knox. You talk about Knox playing without the ball. And at times, Pierce was like that, too, coming around screens in the mid-range and either hitting mid-range jump shots or taking a few dribbles to the rim or stuff like that. And I see Knox, you know, like I said, a little taller, but similar to Paul Pierce, in my opinion.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that Knox is going to still grow. Like I told you, like I already told you, Doc, like I told you with Frank. Frank is 6'7 now.
Mm-hmm.
Frank is 6'7. So Knox got more time to grow, more time to fill out his body. He got a 7-foot wingspan. Like he has such great physical attributes that, and you know, when you think about when a year or two down the line with Porzingis, Knox, and Frank defensively, that's gonna be terror. That's gonna be terror dome. Straight.
Yeah, we do need him, Knox, to improve defensively. I think throwing him out there this season will help. I just don't want to – I mean, we've heard so far that he has a ton of confidence, but I don't want him to get eaten up and lose any of that confidence. So we'll see what happens with him.
I mean, we can't go wrong. From the beginning, Doc, he's been looking at KD tapes and learning how to score like that. The fact that he wanted group workouts. The fact that he got Rookie of the Year written on his wall, and he taped it to his ceiling, so every time he wakes up, that's what he sees. Like, that's what I want. That's what I want. You know what I'm saying? Even if you don't win Rookie of the Year, as long as you can put yourself in the conversation, that's great for us.
Yeah.
That's great for us.
I agree with that, man.
And like he's like one of the youngest in the draft. He has a tremendous upside, and I mean, sky's the limit for that kid, man. Sky's the limit for that kid. It's not like he doesn't have. And the thing about it is, he has the jump shot. You know, you can improve. Of course, he can improve on it, just like anything else. But he has the tools. He has the tools. When you have his fundamental game is down. He already has floaters. He already has different things in his games that require skill. So when you have that much skill, you can improve on your skills and get even more potent. But we're going to be playing fast pace. And in today's game, with him not having to, dribble, he's going to be able to score a lot of points. That's why I say he reminds me of Paul George. Because if you think about it, Paul George at his best is able to catch and shoot, move without the ball. Yeah, he could put the ball on the ground and this and that. But he's not what you would call a straight ISO killer.
Right.
Those stuff came after.
Right. He added the dribble and all stuff, but the slashing and the moving, you know, the defense he kind of came into the league with.
And with the coach, when you have a coach like this right now, is who wants to develop his stars, who wants to take them to the next level. I mean, everything is looking up for us, man. Right now I'm anticipating a season, knowing Porzingis is going to be out for most of the stretch, says a lot about where this direction is headed. Not to mention the fact that, you know, what can be happening down the line as far as free agents.
Right. A few more things. One thing I'm not sure. Well, we'll see how he plays in, I guess, summer league.
July 7th, baby.
Yeah,
July
practice
7th.
And preseason. But I'm not sure if I want him to start right away. I want him to get minutes, but I just don't want him to feel like the pressure's on him because KP is out. You know what I mean?
I don't necessarily think. That he's going to be, like, to me, I would be more scared if Michael Porter was starting than Kevin Knox. Because
I understand what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Because of the type of game, a lot of ball dominance, I'd be scared of him. To me, it's most important that he's thrown out there. This is what we were calling for with Frank. This is what we was calling for Frank. If Fizdale was coaching, Frank would have been starting. Yes, we understand Jared Jack was doing his thing and everybody else was doing their thing, but it doesn't help us in the future because they're not going to be part of the future. You know what I'm saying? Throw them out there. See what we could do. It doesn't matter. We're not, you know, if we happen to make the playoffs, we happen to make the playoffs. I'm just liking the direction that we're going to. And if he's playing out there, then it allows us to see what we have, see how far we can take his game. And if we're doing our thing and we don't make the playoffs, guess what? We got a chance to get another high. We get a chance to get another high pick. Along with free agents, and we'll be good to go. We'll be good to go because free agents want to come, B.
Yeah, that's the plan. You know, talking about 2019. You know, I personally, I said last week I don't want to rule out getting any free agents this year, but it looks like their plan is, you know, all eyes on next season when they'll be, you know, Kyrie, Clay, Jimmy Butler, and Kawhi probably. But real quick, we got another caller waiting, ISO, but real quick, how you feel, what you want tomorrow? Tomorrow's supposed to be the deadline for Kanter to make his decision. To me, he was serviceable. I like what he brought to the table. Energy, you know, rebounds, the inside scoring.
Honestly, if he opts out, it frees up 18 mil for us. It doesn't matter. We're good either way. If he opts in because Porzingis is out, we have a starting center. Robinson could get some work and practice. Opts out, then that leaves us room to, you know what I'm saying, maybe go acquire somebody else. a low mid to free agent pick. You know what I'm saying? But
the guy
you're
talking about, Jabari Parker.
You know I was talking about him. But I think a lot of teams are gonna bid for him, man. What I've been hearing through the grapevine too, that we might try to get the European dude who was in Porzingis' draft class, Mario Hargenza,
yeah,
something like that.
From Orlando, who played for Orlando.
Yeah, we may try to go after him or something. If we could get a low maintenance pick right now, because the thing about it to me is we need to get another small forward. Reason why we need to get another small forward, because Knox needs competition. That was one of the problems with Frank. He didn't have any young guards to give him work and practice.
So he
suffered in the game because he's like, yo, I could keep up with Jared Jack and these cats. Well, that's not what you're facing. I want Knox to face some considerable type talent in practice. So
bring back Beasley.
Beasley's out. He's getting paid, B.
Okay.
It was scared to say me. Don't be surprised if that dude ends up on the Warrior bench.
I wouldn't be. You know, Durant is his man.
Exactly. Don't be surprised. He'd be perfect for them coming off the bench.
Right.
Perfect.
Yo, ISO, man, good to hear from you, man.
Anytime, man.
Miss you in the office. I miss that card swiping, B. I miss that. trying to keep these lights on, man.
No doubt, man. No doubt.
Yo, good
Doc.
To hear from you, man.
All right, my G. All
right, chill.
One.
Call us out there, 563-999-3716. Press 1 to get in the queue. Good hearing from my main
caller.
Man, ISO. We're going to take this next caller right now. Last four digits, 0763.
Guys, good evening. It's your boy, Knickerbocker Ave. What's going on?
What's up, man? What's up, Knickerbocker Ave? Good to hear from you.
Likewise. You know what? I was listening to ISO a little bit, and, you know, If you happen to have a chance to listen to my show last night, I really went in on this pick because to me, you know, the Knicks are just giving us more lip service. put like this, it doesn't make sense to take Kevin Knox when you had somebody who can fill the same void that Kevin Knox can do, plus give you effort on the defensive end, and that was Mikal Bridges from Villanova. But they went this route, and the explanation to me sounds like lip service. And I listened to that press conference over and over again. I listened to it again this morning, and it's still the same lip service that I keep on hearing Steve Mills say over and over again. He's a good person. He's a great. He's a straight, level-headed young man. Yada yada yada. So basically, this is all about personal relationships, and. Nothing to do with basketball talent. It just basically came down to, can we get along with this kid? And my thing is, like, yes, I get it. You know, you have to get along with your players. But at the same time, you know where your deficiencies are as an organization. You're starting off brand new again for, like, the fourth or fifth time in the last, I don't know what, how long has it been now? Like, you know, 7, 8 years? And we're coming in with a brand new coach.
Yeah, you're talking about culture, right?
We talk about culture. You already know that Porzingis is not going to be. It's probably not going to play a lick next season. You know, maybe he will, but I'm basically just calling it as he's not. And who shows lack of effort? Who shows, you know, in the NCAA tournament showed no hustle in defense. Showed the whole team basically everybody in Kentucky last in the NCAA tournament showed like they were defeated. But he, you know, most notably was like, you know, didn't show any effort. He quit on the team. And this is the kid that you want to bring into your organization, a professional, one of the marquee and charter members of the NBA. You're going to bring him to that organization where there's no organization, there's no structure, there's no culture, there's no true philosophy of what's going on.
Let me tell you how I feel real quick on this.
Go ahead.
On the Kevin Knox. When they picked him, I stated last week that I wanted Mikal Bridges. Why? Because I felt like he was the one dude that could contribute right away, right? And that we knew what he had. You know, he's older than the rest, and you know, more developed and closer to being, you know, a solid type player right away. When they picked Knox, I wasn't upset. I'm still not upset. I like Knox. I like the pick. You're right about some of the deficiencies he had and some of the things we saw this season. With the good comes the bad, you know. I mean, of course, you know, the Knicks and, you know, some outlets are not going to talk about the bad side of Knox, but there was some defensive inefficiencies, sometimes some effort deficiencies. But I'm not mad at the pick. But I agree with you to a certain degree that I feel the pick, they picked Knox with the thought in the back of their mind, it gives them more to have to win now, or less pressure on them to win now. And I think if they picked Bridges, it would have been, you know, like I said, a more solid pick, a dude that's going to play right. And it would have been some pressure for them that, you know, that they should be better than they were. You know what I mean? With picking Knox and him being 18, it gives them a little more time to say, you know, we're not there yet or we're not close yet. You know what I mean? But I kind of agree with what you're saying. You know, I think it was the safer pick, and it to a certain degree for them and, you know, the time they're given to make the Knicks better.
Right, because if you look at the Knicks as a whole, with the players that you have under contract, we're not talking about, you know, the 300 freaking point guards we have and all the other stuff and little guys that are heading into free agency. If you look at the Knicks as a whole, and even last season, the biggest deficiency that the Knicks had was that small forward. You can't just continue to think that Tim Hardaway Jr., who's a shooting guard, and that's all he can ever be, despite the fact that he's 6'6" and 195 pounds, he's not going to be a small forward in this league. He can't guard threes. You know, he has a hard enough time guarding twos. So what makes you think he's going to guard a three? He doesn't.
Right.
He doesn't really guard very much of anything. So you need somebody who can play some kind of defense and be able to hang with the small forwards in this league because now, you know, every big man now, you know, from three to five is, you know, they're stretching the floor, they're hitting threes, they're taking long jump shots, and Hardaway can't cover that. Lance Thomas,
right.
you know, he's getting up there a little bit in age. I'm not saying he's an old man yet, but for crying out loud, you can expect him to be the starting three every night. And him playing 35 minutes and him to be effective, it doesn't make sense. You need a three. And let's look at the free agent market, shall we? I mean, there's not a lot of, you know, credible threes out there. I mean, there's, you know, you have the Rudy Gays of the world and guys of that sort, you know, but let's be realistic. The Knicks needed a three.
Yeah, and we needed, I think we needed, like you said, a defensive-minded three to fit in with what we have as far as
Hardaway Jr.'s,
you know, deficiencies on the defensive end.
Precisely. So, and just right now, you have a defensive three. Courtney Lee is supposed to be a 3-and-D guy. I mean, he shows glimpses, but you know, he's still an average defender. You got to come off the bench.
Right.
And we already know that they're going to that Fizdale is going to transition him into a two, because he's going to keep Moutier at the one. Moutier is probably the more likely suspect to be the starting point guard, because Jared Jackson is probably not coming back. They're not going to want to, you know, put the pressure back on Neil Aquino again, because we saw that he's not that good. He's not, you know, inept to, you know, to participate at the one. He's very suitable to, you know, to be effective at the two. So you see that shift. You still need a three. You can't. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. And but when you look and you listen to Steve Mills talking about how good of a person he is, it comes down to the same insignificant problem that the Knicks have always had. They treat this as a Fortune 500 company and not a basketball team. They're only interested in the quarterly statement. That's a hashtag I'm starting to use now. the Knicks. All they care about is dollars and cents, not wins and losses, which is what, you know, we the fans then turn and suffer. Because of that, because this
ticket prices, man.
Exactly, it's ticket prices. They know the garden is always going to be full because, you know, you sell out to all the, you know, all the brokers and all the celebrities, you know, down on Fifth Avenue and in Wall Street, and then, you know, the casual fans, you know, the true to life real fans are stuck in the nosebleeds behind the Chase Bridge and we can barely see the scoreboard.
Correct.
That's the sad reality, but. I'm not knocking Kevin Knox. He is a good player. He's a great spot up shooter. He can work that pick and roll, you know, very effectively, and that's going to be a key, you know, going forward. So there is a plus to him, but that huge minus when you look at what was available. I understand why he didn't go for Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr. is too much of a risky investment. Under, you know, for anybody, you know, for anybody's organization right now because of his back,
right?
But you had Mikal Bridges. You even could have gotten Miles Bridges. You could have gotten anywhere else.
Yeah,
and
the Knicks
once again screwed the pooch.
I think it'll, you know, when the question comes up, you know, like how we last year we always kept in mind the three that the Knicks passed on. And picked Neil Aquino when they passed on Monk, Donovan Mitchell, and Dennis Smith. But it's still going to remain a question to be, you know, answered later on. You know, Michael Porter Jr. was on the board along with Miles Bridges and Mikal Bridges. But I think those two, being Porter Jr., we know why we couldn't take a chance on him. And I think Knox jumped over Miles Bridges after the group workout a couple Saturdays ago when he, you know, was basically the best player in the gym, and they said he kind of kicked around Miles Bridges. I think at that point Knox jumped over Miles Bridges. So I think at the end it was between Mikal and Kevin Knox, but for the reasons we both stated, I think that's why they went with Knox.
You know, it's like in the NFL. You basically chose this kid because he did so well at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
But how often do we see, you know, kids come out of college going to the combine or going to the group workouts with specific teams? They do pretty well and they impress the GMs and whatnot, but they end up turning out into busts. I mean,
right.
When Neil Aquino got picked, I knew that was coming because he supposedly fit the triangle. And then, of course, the triangle went away like a week or two later. So, you know, we have to live with Neil Aquino. What's the excuse now? And then when you hear David Fizdale talk about, you know, oh, he could be a starting three right now, I'm looking at him. It's like, dude, he's not ready to start three. Anywhere. He was barely able to start three in college. So how the hell are you going to think that he's going to be ready, you know, with summer leagues and training camp and then, you know, of course, practices? Do you think that this kid's going to be ready to be a starting three in the league? In the
right.
NBA, the cream of the crop. It doesn't make any sense. So
it's to be seen.
Unfortunately, like, you know, despite how you feel about Fizdale being hired, and you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, which I'm going to, but let's be realistic. Anything he says now is also lip service.
Correct.
He hasn't given us any confidence yet to say, oh, he could be starting three. Now I'm looking at him as like, are you on crack? I mean, seriously.
that surprised me. That's a conversation me and ISO had, you know, a little bit after the draft about Knox starting. I didn't see it that way. I didn't, you know, I kept saying, nah, that don't happen anymore in this league, especially, you know, where he got picked as far as ninth. But it surprised me to hear that from Fizdale.
Exactly.
If he deserves it, let him start. But I don't want him to start right away. I really don't. I don't want the pressure on him. I don't want him to lose confidence. You know, but if he earns it, if he's that good and he earns it, let him start. Let him start, you know. I think there's no other way to learn, but that better way to learn than hands on and on the job training, you know? If he deserves those, you know, 30 minutes.
I believe in what you're saying. I agree with you 100%. But look again at what we passed up. Last year we passed up on Smith, on Donovan Mitchell, on Monk, on all these, you know, great good players who had a very good season last season, despite the fact what their records for the team show. But they all had much better seasons than Danilo Quina, but we understand the process. Whether we agree with it or not, we understood the process. Now, Knox makes zero sense to me when you have other better options. We were told when Fizdale and when Perry both got hired that we were going to go out for the best available player.
Right.
The best available player at that point was Mikal Bridges. And now, drafted by the 76ers and shipped off to freaking Phoenix.
Yeah.
You know, Phoenix ends up looking, not only did they end up with the number one pick, they also ended up, you know, looking like true winners in the NBA draft, because to me, they won the draft.
They got the number one pick.
Everyone won their picks. Two lottery picks. Two lottery picks, and I think they got two second rounders, and all of them were the best available, you know, at that position, and they were, you know, they can contribute right now. They can at least, Phoenix can now say they can get out of the doldrums of the Western Conference and actually be somewhere in the middle, you know, probably looking up at a playoff spot. The Knicks are still in the same spot regardless. Even though I already look at it, this is going to be a throwaway season. With Porzingis out, you're waiting on contracts to fall off. You know, O'Quinn opt out. Cantor's his contract is going to fall out one way or the other.
Right.
Because I don't see the Knicks giving them a long term extension or anything like that.
Unless it's so cheaper, maybe, but not yet. Maybe next season.
Right, but again, they're selling us this dream of 2019. Now, doesn't this sound familiar? You know, about 9 years ago when Donnie Walsh started freaking trading everybody and saying this is what we're gonna do. And we bought into a hook, line, and sinker, and we ended up with Amari Stoudemire. Come on now. I mean, I don't want to be – I really don't want to be negative about it. But, you know, this is Knicks therapy, so you kind of got to help.
It's hard. I'm trying myself. I hear what you're saying, man, but it's hard to turn around, you know, the Knicks fans. They know what it is. You know, they know the truth. They're avid basketball fans and knowledgeable basketball fans listening to the show. So, you know, they know the truth.
They know the truth, but then if you speak about the truth, all of a sudden you're not a Knicks fan. You're not standing behind them. I stand behind this team for the last 30 years. You know, I've watched every game that I possibly could over the last 30-year period, and I've done so much, and I've invested so much emotion, money, and time in this team, hoping that the Larry O'Brien Trophy will finally make its way to Madison Square Garden. But at this rate, who the hell knows? As long as Steve Mills is still in charge, you know, all he knows how to do is create relationships and give us lip service. Unfortunately, you know, that seems to be the identity of the Knicks. It's not winning. It's not defense. It's not, you know, creative offensive schemes or a prime destination for free agents. It's relationships and lip service.
Yeah, I'm hoping,
a positive quarterly statement.
Go ahead, finish up.
And that's it. That's what they're about. You know, relationships, you know, the quarterly statement, and that's pretty much about it, because the Knicks, I'm on my second beer now because the Knicks make me drink.
You're not alone, buddy. You're not alone.
You know, and I told Steve on our platform, I'll tell you the same thing. This is like, we're going to be here every week talking about the same thing, you know, and trying to get these Knicks fans to not switch over to Brooklyn, because they actually took a step forward, even though their draft pick wasn't like, it wasn't like, you know, something great, but
right.
They're at least taking a step forward, while the Knicks are still being the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm eager to see what happens, man. I mean, I'm hoping, and I feel these two, you know, draft picks will pay dividends for us. I mean, it's been a while since we had, you know, two at the same time that should get significant playing time. I know some people said that Robinson probably will be in the G League some, but I don't know about that, man. I think he's gonna get an opportunity to play out there, especially on the Fizdale. The comparisons, like we stated earlier, Tyson Chandler, DeAndre Jordan type. I think he's gonna get a chance out there, especially if Cantor opts out.
Right.
You know.
I've heard the comparison of Clint Capella a lot, and I'm scratching my head. Is like, why would you want to be compared to Clint Capella? Really? I mean, but whatever.
Capella's about to get paid, though, man.
He's about to get paid, but that's another story. But you know, for me, Mitchell Robinson is definitely a steal, because
right.
He's a kid straight out of high school, took a year off because he didn't want to go to, he didn't want to go to a big school. He wanted to go to a smaller school, and instead, you know, some off the field problems happened, and then of course, you know, he took the year off and just worked out. And got himself ready for the NBA draft. I like what this kid brings,
mm-hmm.
and his position at a second round 36th pick. I mean, that's not a bad look. It's a low risk, high reward kind of situation.
Correct.
And I do think that, you know, he's going to get some minutes. I'm pretty sure, because who knows if Cornette and Williams and everybody else, you know, all these guys that are on two-way contracts, if they're going to pan out this season, if they, you know, whether they get hurt or whether they just don't make the rotation with Fizdale. And I think Robinson will see some minutes. He with that lengthy body, he can, you know, considering that he's more of a banger than Porzingis, more of a banger than Cantor, he's a guy who can really, and a great rim protector. He can do a lot of the things that Kylo Quinn used to do should Kylo Quinn leave. Since he opted out, it doesn't mean that he's completely off the Knicks. He can still re-sign with the Knicks.
Right.
Same thing with Cantor. Cantor, you know, good scorer and rebounder on down low, but can't defend worth a lick. So that, you take those two problems out, you insert a Mitchell Robinson, you still have Cornette, you still have, you know, Troy Williams, you still have Hicks, you still have guys that, you know, that you can still, continue, you know, learn to develop them and see what they can really become, instead of just putting them out there and then benching them for 6 weeks because they were late to practice by two minutes. Who the hell knows?
And
of course, we still don't know what the Knicks are going to do with Joakim Noah, because under contract. But you know, he can probably work really well in Fizdale's system if it's the system that I'm thinking of. You know, the traditional, you know, defensive minded grit kind of team. But again, like you just said, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's inevitable that Fizdale's going to try to win games, of course. So I think he's going to play his vets for the most part, especially early on, you know. So
right.
I think we could look to see, you know,
some of those guys who've been around get minutes, especially early on. But I think this guy, I think Robinson is going to surprise people, man. One thing that I always keep an eye on, being that, you know, I'm a basketball fan overall from, you know, the playground to college and, you know, everything. I always watch, always look at the McDonald's All-Americans coming out of, you know, high school, senior year of high school. And
he was a lottery pick then. That's what's crazy to me. He was a lottery pick then.
Mm-hmm. And then also the along with McDonald's All-American, there's this most players who play in that game play in the Jordan Brand Classic. And
right.
Knox played in both, and Robinson played in both too in 2017. So what I'm trying to say is those are usually the 24 best players coming out of high school at that time. And Robinson was one of them, you know. To me, that's usually a guy who has talent, you know what I mean? And at that point, too, they say he was probably one of the, you know, in the top 10 of that high school class. So I think he's a guy who has talent in him. I haven't found out exactly why, what happened, you know, when he enrolled at Western Kentucky, but I guess the right people around him, you know, put him in the right situation, and, you know, hopefully he'll flourish. You know, hopefully he's not a guy like Larry Sanders. I don't know if you guys remember Larry Sanders,
yeah,
who played for the Bucks, but we'll see what happens with Mitchell Robinson. Like you said, low risk, high reward.
Definitely. And see, this is kind of like, you know, a going trend now with the draft for me, because it's like the second or third year in a row, maybe fourth year in a row, where the second round picks have more potential than the first round picks for the Knicks. And, you know, I'm more happy about getting Mitchell Robinson than obviously us getting Kevin Knox. Again, not knocking the kid. He, you know,
right,
he does bring something to the table. Obviously, that's why he was even ranked that high. But when there is better available players, it's not a matter of opinion, because obviously every time this happened, for the exception of the Porzingis pick, you know, that's the one time that we were all wrong. But aside from that, we're pretty much dead on right. We know, you know, most basketball aficionados and true sport fans of the game know the difference of, you know, what was a smart pick and what was a dumb pick. And the smart pick always ends up being the pick that we should have gotten, ends up panning out to be a whole lot better than the pick that we ended up getting. And then, you know, we're sitting here twiddling our thumbs as like, all right, well, how much longer till, you know, till we trade his ass? And that's what I'm afraid this is going to happen with Kevin Knox. Kevin Knox is just going to be a pawn for us to, you know, to try to maneuver ourselves and position ourselves into that free agent class of 2019, which, you know, you mentioned it, Kyrie, Wall, Kemba Walker, all these guys are going to be hitting free agency, and then, you know, the Knicks hope to be big players. Well,
yeah, they're hoping KP attracts these guys, but I think it'll be hard.
I don't know how you do that if he doesn't play.
Exactly, that's what I was about to say. If he doesn't play some this season and show that, you know, he's gonna be, I don't want to say the old KP, because I feel he had, you know, room to improve from what we've seen. But
oh, he definitely did, because
the potential superstar that, you know, we see that he can be. I don't see how these guys gravitate to the Knicks. You know, we've said before, New York is not the same New York as it used to be. Mm-hmm. And I said also that I you know, if we do have some money, you know, depending on what Cantor does, I don't want to be out of any. I don't want to overlook any free agents that we can potentially get this season, just because we have our eyes set on next season, because we can end up with, you know, a donut this year and a donut next year, as far as signing a free agent or one of the top,
But the big, but see, here's the problem: the big risk is of not overlooking the free agents of this year and just focusing on next year. Is that if you focus on the ones of this year, most of them are going to demand, you know, long term big money contracts, and that hinders our cap space and completely knocks us out. Unless, I mean, I'm all about, you know, I'm like you. I don't want to completely overlook the free agent class, but I'm all about, you know, if we're looking into the free agents, you know, and really look at them, short-term deals, you know, you can give them big money, but just do a short-term deal, see what happens, and then 2019, now all your options are open because now you have bird rights to, you know, to set free agent. You can team them up with this free agent. You can try to, you know, pair these two players up for a trade to try to draw another big name, and then we can, you know, be on in business.
I agree, man. I totally agree.
The Knicks are always talking and thinking that way, but they can never execute it. Why? It's because they can't get themselves out of their own way. And, you know, unfortunately, it starts at the top.
Yeah, James Dolan. We got to do what makes sense, man. We got to do what makes sense. And like I said, I don't want to overlook any of these guys that are free agents this year.
Who do you like in the free agent class right now? To be part of the Knicks.
Of 2018 or 2019?
Yeah, the free agents of this off season.
I mean the main guy that's stuck on my mind that we've been talking about since, you know, last season has been Jabari Parker. I think he's young. I think he's a guy who loves the game. You know what I mean? When you see him play, you know he's a ball player. You know what I mean? He does this because he loves the game. He came back because he loves the game. It ain't about the money with this guy. You know, of course he wants to get paid, but that's a guy who I think he'll thrive in this type of city, you know, a basketball city. And I wouldn't mind giving him, like you said, a one-year deal, maybe with a option. I don't know what's the bidding going to be on him, but
from what I'm hearing in terms of like the rumor mill, I know that the Washington Wizards are looking at him, the Atlanta Hawks are looking at him. I even heard Miami might consider it. I guess like their biggest free agents besides Dwayne Wade is Wayne Ellington. So I'm pretty sure Jabari Parker would be a vast improvement in that situation. But you already know the big knock on Jabari Parker is his health. And, you
correct.
Know, it's basically the, you know, the Derrick Rose situation all over again. Is he healthy? Is he ready? And can he last, you know, can he at least play, you know, 60 games? And be a contributing factor to a franchise, or is he just another Grant Hill, almost?
Yeah,
or
the name.
The name.
My guys, MVB and Steph usually give to those type of players is availability. You know, will these players
right.
be available? It is. That's the absolute truth when it comes to Jabari Parker. But I think. He's, like I said, he loves the game too much to quit. I think he's going to continue to work and, you know, make an effort to be healthy. You know, I think a lot of people don't understand, you know, basketball is still a contact sport. You know what I mean? These injuries.
It is.
They don't happen, you know, a lot of times because, oh, you're not taking care of your body or stuff like that. Sometimes it's freak injuries, you know what I mean? And you can't predict injuries, you know what I mean, when you're giving players contracts. I can understand knick-knack injuries or I'm sitting out for, you know, a sprained ankle here and there or something like that. But this guy tore ligaments in his knee, you know what I mean? And that's not usually because, I'm not taking care of myself. you know, as freak accidents in this game. So,
or sometimes he's, you know, it could be as a result of, you know, somebody pressing. And because it always seemed like to me, like when Jabari Parker did play, he was all, you know, he was pressing to, you know, to kind of like, because the Bucks were his team before Giannis got there. And,
yes.
And it looked like, you know, that he, you know, him and Giannis being together, now that Giannis is pretty much taking over the, like, most of the point guard duties and ball handling, that Jabari was going to be able to flourish in that system, you know, whether it was with Jason Kidd or with the new guy that they have. But it just never came out because the second he, because it looked like he just pushed. He over-pushed and he overexerted himself, and he ended up hurting himself even further. And now he's a big question mark in free agency. You know, who's, and it all comes down to, you know, who's going to be the one to put in that investment in him to see what happens. You know, and maybe they'll put some clauses. Maybe it'll be like a 3-year deal with the, you know, with after the first year it's a team option, and then it's a player option. But you know, it all depends, man. I mean, it's a roll of the dice for any organization. I was looking at veterans. You know, sometimes I always wish the Knicks would kind of get down on the Boogie Cousins thing, but that's just, you know, wishful thinking, I guess, a little bit. I don't see them happening.
It's tough with Boogie. Boogie is a bad man. But the thing what I see
dude.
With Boogie, he always has to have the ball in his hands, and it's tough. It's tough playing, having a dude like that on a team, and I don't know. It's tough. I think it's tough playing with Boogie, but I think he's a killer. He's an unstoppable force when his mind is right. But
right.
It's tough. I think it's tough playing with him, man.
I agree with you 100%. And when you already got a Tim Hardaway Jr. who needs the ball constantly, and Porzingis, you know, some days he demands the ball. Sometimes he like runs away from it, but I think it would be a great dynamic, especially if O'Quinn and Cantor do go elsewhere. You know, you kind of like, you can solidify a position. But that's just wishful thinking. I don't see the Knicks ever really, you know, having a shot against it, you know, with him.
Right.
I think he's staying in New Orleans, but there could be a possibility he goes elsewhere.
Dallas is a big suitor for him.
Yeah.
They're looking for a center. I think they have DeAndre Jordan on their radar also.
From what I understand, DeAndre Jordan is priority number one to them. And if I'm the Clippers, I'd be very interested. But, you know, it all depends on what Dallas comes to the table with. You know, if they come up with bullshit, then, you know, then of course no deal, trade them to the Eastern Conference, trade them to like Boston or something, because I'm sure Boston wouldn't mind having him. I know Atlanta wouldn't mind to have him. I'm pretty sure Charlotte would be interested, and definitely Miami. You know, just to team him up with Whiteside. I mean, you have a really good 1-2 punch down low. I mean, That's a scary thought if you really think about it.
Right. Another name I had on my mind at times was there's two. Julius Randle is one, and Derek Favors is another. Both are I think Randle was offered a deal. No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about Randle. I know he's a free agent, but I'm not sure if he's restricted.
I believe that he is restricted.
They offered him a deal. They tendered him an offer the other day. Right. So
they want to extend him, but he's mulling it over because he's looking to go into free agency and see if he can command bigger money.
Correct. Favors is a guy who I think, too, if we lose Cantor, might fit next to KP for you know, not as much money as Cantor probably going to demand. And he's a solid player himself, you know, and
a
better
defender.
And a better defender.
I just don't know if his attitude is made for New York. I mean, remember he was in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and things didn't really work out for him there, and that's why they traded him to Utah in that whole Darren Williams deal. But I just don't see him. I mean, I would love to have a player like that, but I think he's pretty much committed to staying in Utah. I think Denver was interested in him for a second too, and they might be planning to talk to him first. But of course, everything hinges on tomorrow, and then of course once free agency hits and we find out what LeBron is going to do, where Kawhi Leonard ends up, where Paul George ends up, because once those three pieces, then that's when you start seeing all the picks and all the agents start really to understand. Because when you have a player like LeBron, a player like George, and a player like Kawhi Leonard, then they're all, you know, itching to leave. You know, they want to be able to survey the landscape once the dust settles. And I don't know.
It should be interesting, man. It's going to get interesting.
Because if I'm LeBron and, you know, all this talk about him going to L.A., to me it doesn't make sense. You know, realistically, it doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, fantasy-wise, yeah, fucking, it makes all sense in the world. But realistically, I think that his better option is to stay in Cleveland. But I understand why he's considering the leave. You know, considering that you have Kevin Love under contract, you have J.R. Smith under contract, Tristan Thompson under contract. You got all, you know, you're pretty much strapped. But he has to kind of sit there and own it, because it's because of him that these contracts exist.
He asked for these players to be re-signed, most of them.
Exactly.
And I think that's unfair to, you know, the city of Cleveland, a franchise in itself, to leave them strapped after, you know, you did this to them. You know?
Right.
How do you feel about him coming to New York?
Like, the NBA Live fan in me would like, you know, piss in my pants, you know, happy, I guess. Like, if it's 14-year-old ass, it would, you know, I'd be pissing my pants, you know, all excited, you know, just couldn't be able to fucking control myself. The realistic basketball mind in my head says that it doesn't make – that also doesn't make any sense right now. Because – even with LeBron James on the New York Knicks, you know, let's just speak hypothetical. Yes, now the Knicks are almost automatically penciled in for the playoffs, but what are they going to really do, you know, with that? And can they really lure more players over there? If you notice how the whole landscape is going, players are not going to LeBron to play with him. He's going
Amen.
To situations where players exist already.
Amen.
So it's almost like the same effect Carmelo Anthony had with the Knicks, that, you know, despite the fact that he was a great player and everyone respects him and people are cool with him, they're not, you know, necessarily itching to get their to pack their bags and fly to JFK anytime soon. So that's why I when they were talking about LeBron going to Philadelphia, I think the same thing. And really, if I'm Philadelphia, even though getting LeBron James would be, you know, would make them, you know, instant Eastern Conference, you know, championship contenders, it would really impede on the progress that they've already been, and of course, the trust the process nonsense.
Right.
It would really impede on that, because the process was is to, you know, to develop through the draft, you know, develop your players and rebuild the team to credibility. They've already done that. To add LeBron James, it puts them over the hump, but let's be realistic.
Yeah,
if
my
LeBron
thing with that
James,
is you're basically impeding Ben Simmons. You know what I mean? And I don't like that at all. You know what I mean? You play the same position as Ben Simmons. Why you know impede the dude's development, you know what I mean? And it, personally, if I was Ben Simmons, I wouldn't care what anybody says to me. I would be like, trade me. I don't want this guy, you know, taking over.
Do a Kyrie.
Taking, something of that sort, because yeah, I'm supposed to be your franchise player or one of your franchise players, and you're bringing in a guy, although he may be the greatest player in the world right now, arguably, but to play my position, get me out of here. You know what I mean? So that's how I would feel. That's how I would feel.
And I'm in 100% agreement with you, because you know, and anybody who's listening, whether you believe that LeBron's better than Jordan or Jordan's better than LeBron, first of all, if you believe that LeBron's better than Jordan, you're wrong. You're 100% wrong. But that's just my opinion. But let's just put it into perspective. If you have a good team without LeBron James, and all that's really missing is for LeBron James to be X'd out of the equation. If you're an Eastern Conference team like the Boston Celtics, like the Philadelphia 76ers, like the Toronto Raptors, you want him to go out west.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't go to the Golden State Warriors, now you all have a fighting shot. And that's exactly how I would feel. If you're a Western Conference fan, you know, I don't know if you have a few of them listening. The last thing you ever want to see is LeBron James going out west. You want him to stay out east, and if you're a Golden State Warrior fan, you want him to come join you. But then that's when I probably go on strike and say I'm not watching anymore. This is just not fair.
Same here. I think a lot of fans would agree with that, you know what I mean? I think there's a lot of fans that feel that way now, once Durant went over there, and you know, and how
right.
The last two finals turned out, you know.
And that's why, you know, again, for the fans who believe that LeBron's better than Jordan, that's why the argument is over and you already lost. LeBron was swept out of the finals and now is looking to hightail it off of the team and the mess that he created to go to another organization and create the same nonsense, another super team.
Yeah.
You know, super teams may be good for the league, and the only way they're good for the league is if everyone had one. That's the only way I see that it would be good for the league. Until then, they're just making basketball almost unwatchable, because you're seeing these lopsided victories. I mean, come on, what was the final score of most Golden State Warrior games? 124-87. I mean, you're talking about a 40-point blowout. I mean,
wants
to watch that?
Nobody. I mean, hopefully somehow there's more parity league, and you know, there's more teams where you could say, oh, they got a chance. They have a real chance. You know what I mean? So, you know, I hope things change, man. Hopefully for our mix, too, that we can move up and somewhere be in that mix. You know, I don't think it's right away or anytime soon, but maybe before we're off this earth.
I think you're wishing too much, bro.
The Knicks bring us a championship, man.
I think you need to lay down on your own couch and perform therapy on yourself on that one. To be honest with you, come on, doctor.
I'm here to bring hope to the ailing Knicks fans, man. You know, including myself, man.
There are many of us.
We just want to be in contention sometime soon. Not right away, but realistically, in a few years. I don't know when the championship will come. But hopefully in our lifetime, you know, I know we're far away from that, but.
Well, you know, I really, even though I love the 90s, you know, I'm a big, you know, in favor of the 90s, and I love the 90s Knicks. The reality is that I don't want to just think about the 90s as the last time we had a shot.
Right.
You know, I know 2012, we had the 54 win season and we finally won the Atlantic Division the first time in 15 years, won a playoff series, and we almost had a chance. Forgotten memory, because what followed that after that, one game away from the playoffs to the worst, you know, the worst record in franchise history, to two consecutive, 30 below
wasted
some season,
season.
Then we're trading our superstar, and then we have to wait again this season. You know, how many different coaches, how many different GMs, how many different culture changes, how many different philosophies have changed before James Dolan finally just says, you know what, Steve, I'm sorry, man, but I think the problem is you.
Who could say that to him, man? Who's going to say that to him?
I don't know. I'm looking online for when JD and the Straight Shot are performing again, so I can, you know, see if I can talk to James Dolan.
But, yo, for a while I've been saying that, yo, at some point, the NBA and along with the other owners have to step in. Just like how they – I mean, it was a totally different situation what happened to the Clippers. To what was his name? Was it Donald Sterling?
Donald Sterling.
When they had to step in and, you know, vote him out or whatever, but – at some point, you gotta say this dude is negligent to the Knicks, you know? And I think everybody wants the Knicks, you know, when New York Knicks basketball is good, the NBA is, you know, is better. So at some point, they gotta get this dude out of here, man.
Dude, I'm sure. And you know, agree with, you know, speaking when you hear this, but remember when you know, I don't know how old you are, Doc. I'm 37. So when I first came into the league,
I'm
38. To watch the NBA. All right, so
yeah.
We're the same age. I'm pretty sure that when you came in, you remember that there was in every NBA city, there was an all-star.
Just about. There was one guy on every team that was. Yeah, like you could say, maybe an all-star or close to it or borderline. Every team had a star.
Right. Yeah, you know, the Knicks had Ewing. You know, Orlando had Shaq at one point. Miami, you know, who did they have?
At different points. They had Zoe at one point. They had Tamario Jr., Glenn Rice.
Yeah, they had Harold Miner at one point, and he was supposed to be the next Jordan. Remember that? You know, every team had somebody that was somewhat credible, and games were competitive. And,
right.
You know, the difference between, you know, the eighth seed and the last place wasn't, you know, astronomical 20, 25 games. It was maybe,
right.
You know, under eight.
Mm-hmm.
And every team is competitive. Now, you know, and they're saying that there's more parity in the NBA than any time. It's like, what are you talking about, per game or per season? Because if anything, it's the same four teams every year. And look,
right.
Look at the finals. It's the fourth consecutive year. I mean, that should just tell you something.
Correct. Especially when you look at, like, the records of the second and third team in the Eastern Conference, they would have been, like, fourth, fifth, sixth in the West. You know what I mean? So, I mean, the conferences is a huge difference, not only in the conferences themselves, but between East and West is a big difference, too.
Right.
You know,
and so what their plan to do is to do the 1-16 deal instead of just keeping the, you know, the separate conferences thing. And I'm looking at it as, like, you're just basically proving the point that there is no real parity within the teams. And it's just going to create, you know, a 1-16. So the Golden State Warriors next year, you know, with the best record in the NBA, will probably play like an Orlando Magic, you know, because they have the 16th best. And, I mean, come on now. That's
yeah, and at that point, it'll be worse playoff games as far as competitiveness in the first round, you know?
Precisely. Or they're saying, oh, just the best 16 teams. Why don't you just break up the – why don't you figure a way to break up the teams, let them keep their contracts, but let them move? Or,
yeah.
You know, abolish the fucking – the salary cap rule and let it be like baseball, where you just luxury tax the shit out of teams that overspend.
I think, to me, too, I mean, not only, you know, with the NBA rules, but it comes down to the players themselves, man. As far as having that competitive drive in themselves. You know what I mean? I had that argument the other day with somebody as far as, you know, wanting to beat the best and not joining the best. You know what I mean? What happened to that? I always bring up the example, and there's times where when I play basketball, you know, as a youth, and you know, sometimes you go to the park and you see who's on the court, or you go in the gym, you see who's winning, and you may have next, and you see a you know, we used to call it a slaughter, you know, a team that has the, you know, you see all the good guys on one team. Like, I don't care who's on the court. I want to play and I want to beat them. You know what I mean? I don't care who I'm playing with. I want to beat the best. You know what I mean? And this time, it's happened. You know what I mean? You beat the better team, and to me, there's no better feeling than that. You know what I mean? I never felt any joy being on the better team and winning, and you know, some nights being in the gym, you know, running the table. You know what I mean? I can understand if, you know, the teams are level, and you know, then you're beating everybody, and that's a good feeling. But when it's a slaughter,
that's exactly how I
how do you get joy in that? How do you feel good winning in that way?
Because I mean, let's be realistic. I'm about 5'9", 5'10", and mm-hmm. I got to play at Rucker Park and at West 4th Street one time in my whole life, and that's so far like reaching the NBA for me. But I play on those playgrounds, and for some reason I don't know what it is in me, but I always pick either the best player or the biggest player to go defend. And if he's going to show me out and put me on SportsCenter, so be it. But I'm going to give him the best. You know, I'm always going to give him my all. You know, but this generation doesn't think that way. They, you know, they're thinking about, let's just pat on the rings and pat on to your legacies. But, and, you know, since every athlete believes that they have a legacy, you know, to uphold, it's like, come on, not all of you can have one. You know, there are certain few. What this era is done, said and done, you're only going to remember about four or five names. You're going to definitely remember LeBron James. You're going to remember Kevin Durant. You'll remember Steph Curry. You'll probably remember James Harden. And then you'll probably remember one other guy, depending on, you know, where you are in the world. You'll believe one other guy, and then that's it. You're not going to remember the Carmelo Anthonys who thinks he's too good to take a benching job. You definitely will remember Russell Westbrook, but you won't remember, you know, the Steven Adamses and those guys in the world. And that's just, but they all believe that they can do that, because I don't know whether they're agents or just great motivators, or, you know, they just all watch the same motivational tape in high school, that you can do what I can do, you know, hosted by Michael Jordan, and then that's it. I don't know, dude.
We're in a different age, man. We're in a different, you know, it ain't, you know, like the old school like we once had, but to me it's kind of sad. I just hope things can change, and I mean, I don't, it's tough, man. I just can't see how players don't want to be competitive. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens.
It's an easy way. It's part of the generation, my brother. That's how it is.
Yeah, man. Yo, always great speaking to you, man.
Likewise. Thank you for having me on.
Shout out to your show quick.
Knickerbocker Fan Forum is on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. The telephone number is 929-477-4171. We're on iTunes, Podcast Republic. Tune in, your Stitcher apps, and you can follow me, Knickerbocker, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Of course, keep continue to listen to this show, Nick's Therapy, and the Fan Forum. And if you got anything you want to say, you know, I'm not that hard to find. If you don't agree with anything that I said, tweet me out, DM me. I don't really care. You know, I'm open for a great spirit of the debate, and let's have it out. Until then, Nick Bakayev, out.
Good speaking to you. Thanks, yo.
Likewise. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Another good show this week. I thank all the callers who call. We're going to wait on that decision by Enes Kanter tomorrow. That should tell a lot about what happens for the rest of our off season, and you know, the free agency period coming up. Next week we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the summer league and the players on the summer league roster. Summer league starts next Friday, I believe. I think next Saturday is probably the Knicks' first game, but overall, some league starts next Saturday, so we'll have a little bit of basketball start next week. But yeah, till then, thanks to all the callers, the listeners out there. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram. Check out the iTest NBA show on Mondays. They're also on Instagram and Facebook. The website, 7sitemedia.com, where you can check out past episodes of Knicks Therapy and also the iTest NBA show. Shout out to the man, ISO, for checking in. Shout out to MVB for always holding things down on the boards. Till next week, y'all, same time, 9 p.m. This is Dr. Big Al on Knicks Therapy. Peace.